Hello and welcome to Table Talk. This is a podcast where we aim to connect current conversation and culture with Christianity. And if you hadn't realized, we release episodes every other Monday. So if you hadn't realized, that's what we're doing. And we thought it'd be really interesting to hear a story of someone becoming a Christian from a completely different cultural and religious background. So often, isn't it, that you hear people say, oh, you know, my parents are Christian and I'm a Christian. But we thought it'd be really interesting to hear from someone where that's not the case. And as ever, if you're listening into this and you're not religious at all, then can I say you're especially welcome, and I hope you find this episode really helpful. So we've got in the virtual studio Ricky Raja. Ricky, welcome, and thanks so much for coming on to Table Talk.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for
Do you like our virtual studio?
I do, yes. I mean, I can't believe that there was something when I tried it on my computer earlier and stuff, and I was, wow, this is
really, what a virtual
technology
studio.
Technology has really moved forward, hasn't it?
Thanks, Rick. Rick, we'd love to hear about your story, and I know it's a real journey. So for our listeners, you know, strap yourselves in, relax, enjoy. But I thought we'd start way back, if that's all right. And just if you could share something of your upbringing, your family life, like where you grew up, just so we can picture you way back.
Sure, yes. So grew up in South London with my grandparents were from India. Parents, my dad was from Kenya, mum from Uganda. Grandparents were from west of India. They moved to East Africa to set business. And then in the 70s, Indians were forced to leave Uganda. So they came here with absolutely nothing, bit of cash, suitcases.
Wow.
So I was born here. I'm British, okay. As is my younger sister. So growing up, my parents, you know, they're working class, so they had to just get jobs in order to make ends meet. My mum had to return to work 6 months after me, so I lived with my grandparents. So they were involved in my upbringing for the first 4 years. So I'm actually bilingual, speak Gujarati and English. I learned Gujarati first, and I didn't learn English until I was four.
Brilliant. Can you say something in Gujarati for us?
Gemcho. Which means, how are you? If you're good and you're enjoying
I'm
this
evening,
you say majamache, which means, you know, I'm great. And the verbs normally come at the end. So, you know, it's okay. Almost great, feeling great, I am.
Cool. Majamache. Love it. That's amazing. So your grandparents are bringing you up with your parents. You're not even speaking English at age four yet. That's amazing.
But it was really interesting. I mean, so meat, growing up, you know, there were certain things that they followed quite religiously. So, you know, vegetarian. So my sandwiches that my mum would make, I would, I loved meat, but I wouldn't tell her. And I would basically, I'd get to school. My sandwiches were sort of, you know, it's delicious bread with, you know, like cheese, salad, cucumber, coleslaw. My friends loved it. And so I used to trade them in for ham sandwiches.
Brilliant.
And then once one of my friends ran up to my mum in the playground when she was picking me up at the school gates, and you know, they shouted out, "We absolutely love your, you know, your son's sandwiches, and you know, they're great." My mum was like, "So what are you eating, Rick?" And she discovered I was eating meat filled sandwiches and stuff.
Wow, really. doing some dodgy trading. I love it. Right. So I'm interested in how, you mentioned it a couple of times, but growing up, how your Hindu faith started to evolve. Obviously, you mentioned your grandparents. I know you mentioned your kind of illegal trading of ham sandwiches in the playground, but generally, how serious was religion in your household?
So I'd say with my grandparents, it was pretty serious. And then generationally, particularly my parents who were born in East Africa, having moved here, they had an arranged marriage and then moved to England, moved to London. You know, I think in the sense of strictness, that got slightly lost generationally between my grandparents, my parents. And I'd say in my early years, so probably the first 10 years, you know, I guess I did stuff because that, you know, what so-and-so says goes. What my grandparents said, whom I highly respected, and also my parents. And I think there is that culturally your elders, so grandparents, parents are big authority figures, but you know, I think in Indian culture and in Hinduism, you know, you could say they are regarded as gods. You'd meet them, you'd have to, you know, bage lagwana, which means you have to sort of bow down, kiss their feet when you enter the home. So I'd say, yeah,
wow, my so first you bow down and kiss your grandparents' feet, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You'd have to, yeah. And my uncle, who was older than my dad, say so as a show of respect to them, because what elders wow. say okay. goes. Basically. I think the other thing I would say is, you know, Hinduism, I mean, it's the oldest religion, and it's so complex in the sense it's so much more than just here are a set of beliefs shape a particular way of life. I would say family and community and culture are deeply embedded and entrenched in Hinduism. You know, I'd say from 6, 7, 8 onwards, I loved learning, but I'd ask questions. I was very inquisitive. Yeah. You know, why do we have to go to this? Why do we do this? And, you know, the responses I'd get back from my parents, where it's just because that's just the way it is. I never really got a reason as to why that was the case. But a lot of Hinduism and whatnot is entrenched in family, community, and almost identity. And what yeah. I mean by that is it was so much deeper than what you did. So, you know, going to the temple, it was so much deeper than a way of life or a way of thinking. It was deeply entrenched in identity. So who I was as a person, and therefore what I did didn't just affect me, but family and community. So if I did good things, it would reflect good on my parents and extended family to the wider community. And if I did something that was not what you'd expect the eldest son to do, it reflected bad on your family. But I'd say there was a transition, because you mentioned about evolving. In my teens, yeah. I became much more serious. So I'd go religiously to the temple with my mum on Thursdays. I remember she would do Friday prayers. So in our house, we had a shrine. There was lots of statues and idols of different Hindu gods. And in the evening after work, she would, you know, do an hour of prayers and then have the family over. We'd light a devo, equivalent of, you know, I guess an English candle, but it was a bit of cotton wool with some ghee. You'd light that, and ceremony, lighting incense, and we'd pray, and then we'd have a family meal. And then obviously religious events or festivals, you know, were really big. So Navratri in September, Diwali in October, the Festival of Light. There were other festivals, Holi, Raksha Bandhan, you know, all the different things. I think weddings, funerals, they were big. You know, weddings, I don't know if you've ever been to an Indian or Hindu wedding, but there's about 7 events before you know they actually get married. Yeah, I'd say I became a bit more strict and religious. I remember when I went to secondary school, I then moved from a normal comprehensive to a private school. And there they had denominational assemblies where you could pick, you know, if you're Christian, go to a Christian, you know, if you were from Islam, you know, and so on. If you were Hindu, go to Hindu denominational assemblies and stuff. I just got involved in that and the Hindu society. So that is probably went from what my parents said to actually doing it because I wanted to, and then it changed again at university.
Okay, we'll get onto that in a sec. But what did you like about Hinduism? Was there anything that you kind of did, especially in those latter years where you got a bit more serious?
Yeah, I'd say so. 3 things that probably stand out: the sense of community, because of the things that you did, it brought community together, and not just extended family, but beyond that, as you, particularly with festivals, as you celebrated those. I'd say, you know, a real closeness of family, not just the immediate family unit. So, you know, my mum, dad and sister, but also more widely my extended family. And there was probably a deeper closeness there than my sort of English friends and stuff. So, you know, I remember, you know, particularly in school, I mean, so many weekends, they'd be out partying or you know, doing various things, you know, and for me, it would be, I went to my uncle's, went to my aunt's, went to my grandparents,
right? Yes.
You know, had this festival, had that festival. And then I'd say thirdly, probably a sense of morality. So doing good, the whole being good, doing good. I think one of the things I grew up with was, if you do good, the gods will be pleased upon you and will bless you. But if you don't do good, you morally, if you're not a good person, you will be punished and stuff. So that's what I grew up with. And so I guess the third thing was striving to better oneself in order to please God. So being the best I could be.
Because am I right in saying reincarnation is a big part of Hinduism?
Yeah. And almost in that, if you've lived a good life, the gods look at that and think, and then you're then reincarnated into almost a better life. Your life in the future will be better and blessed. It might be the human kingdom. It might be, you know, you become a demigod. But if you live a bad life, your punishment will be, when you're reincarnated, you're back to the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever it is, become a pig or a donkey or a wasp or whatever.
And as a young man, you believed that? Like, were you afraid of that or motivated by that? Can you remember?
Yes, because it's interesting. I went to Gujarati school on a Saturday afternoon growing up. I went to Hindu Sunday school on a Sunday morning that parents used to send me. And that was the teaching, you know, I got and stuff. And honestly, my Sunday school, you know, they'd say, you're eating meat. In the afterlife, you'll become a pig. And then you'll see what it's like when you're then slaughtered and how much it hurts. So that's what I grew up
with.
Wow. So it's a real sort of fear-based religion. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You mentioned Diwali. It's just around the corner. Can you just explain what that festival's like for our listeners? I mean, I feel like it's quite big. Even someone who's not Hindu would know about Diwali. But what are you celebrating as a Hindu at that time?
So Diwali, so it's the festival of light. And there are many festivals, but a lot of festivals are rooted in stories about gods. And Diwali signifies Ram and Sita and their victory of light over darkness, of good over evil. And it's interesting. I used to, again, my inquisitive mind, used to ask my mum, you know, grandparent, you know, why do we do this? I didn't get that answer. I had to look that up. It was just, well, that's what we've always done. We just do that. So I wouldn't actually get the religious answer. Or they'd say, speak to a Brahmin who in the caste system is on the, you know, they're the top dogs in the pecking order. It's just something we do. It was a reason to get together, get family together and celebrate light, have good food. There'd be fireworks. It's what me and my sister used to love growing up, because we're like, great, you know, there's obviously bonfire night on the 5th of November, but then we get that half term week in October. That's when Diwali always
used. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was around that time. The area we are in now in Northeast London, there's a big Asian Indian community here. So we find, yes, there's fireworks on the 5th of November, but in the neighborhood, we'll look up and it's just fireworks around Diwali. But it is a reason for get-togethers, fireworks, food. It's then followed by the Indian New Year, and that's another reason for people to gather. And there's also a celebration for Lakshmi, who is the goddess of money. But that gives you a flavor of what Diwali was, the reason, what it's rooted in, what we do, and what I guess a contemporary Hindu today would do.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rick. I feel like I've got a good feel of your upbringing and, especially you up and anyway into your teenage years in school. I'm just intrigued then how you go from this world to first becoming interested in Christianity. Can you explain something of that journey?
Well, I think my Hindu religion evolved again at uni, where I believed in God, but it didn't work as a system. And so in my second year of medical school, my first degree was undergraduate medicine. I trained in London, met some really good friends, Christian friends. And I think I noticed something different about the way they lived their lives. And I'd almost say something with Hinduism was, you know, there'd be a set of practices or beliefs, but, you know, I never saw it lived out with all integrity and honesty. And I think that's the difference I noticed, you know, in them. And they talked to me about their faith, and they'd invited me to Christianity Explored course, which was at someone's house. And I got invited, you know, it was a nice dinner and stuff. You'd look at a DVD, ask some questions. We went through Mark's gospel. And we learned about who Jesus is, what he did, why he came, why he died, why he rose again, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think I was resistant, skeptical at first, but then it, you know, it slowly grappled with, you know, some of those truths. But that was what got me interested in the first place. And actually, you know, like Christians, I discovered, you know, you're all right. You're not so bad. You know, it's sort of what I thought my who Christians were and what they did and, you know, stereotypes was quickly.
That's interesting, because from what you were told growing up, maybe you would be wary of other religions and especially Christians.
Yeah, well, I think it was my understanding was it's where it was a Western religion.
Yeah,
where English white people basically who are good went to church, you know, and dressed in drape and the whole. You know, I think with me, I was just I've got better things to do on a Sunday than do that.
Yeah. Were you not quite scared? I mean, I know you got kind of told off for exchanging your ham sandwiches in the playground, but were you exploring Christianity nervously or quite confidently as an adult?
I guess it was always at the back of my head as I was exploring it. If I do become a Christian, this is not going to go well with them.
Mm. Tell me more about the journey. Was there like a particular moment that you reached this conclusion? Because it's just such a paradigm shift for you to grow up, you know, steeped in Hindu culture, your family, like you said, all going to the temple, all that, all the rituals. Like, surely that's a big, big shift. Then you just sat there in someone's living room looking at a bit of the Bible. Like, how did you... like that must have been slightly playing with your mind going on that journey. Talk to me about the journey of how you started rationalizing this.
So it was a transition over 18 months. So it wasn't a particular moment. I think, you know, on one level, I was trying to make sense of its plausibility in my head. So I was like, as I did Christianity Explored and Mark's Gospel, I was like, okay, so Jesus has performed all these miracles to show that he's God, but then what on earth is he doing dying on a cross? Because if he's God, God doesn't die, to put it simply. That really didn't sit particularly well. If you remember what I said when I was just earlier in the podcast, when I was growing up, a lot of it's about, okay, do good and you're blessed by God, do bad and you're punished. In one sense, I always felt that, I mean, I couldn't even live up to my own dreams, goals, let alone, you know, my parents' expectations. And then you sort of think, well, a holy, almighty God, how on earth am I supposed to live up to his perfect standards? And that's when I started to draw, because in some sense, in all the ways I'd failed, you know, I thought, wow, I have so failed God. And then like jigsaw pieces fitting together, you know, that light bulb moment of just the self-awareness of, oh, actually, there the real me, all this stuff I've grown up with, I'd never be able to live up to his standards and the way he would expect. And that's why Jesus, who is God incarnate, and I had some understanding, you know, incarnation, you know, because of reincarnation in Hinduism. Okay, so God incarnate, him as a person, he died, he'd lived the perfect life. And that was because I hadn't. And therefore, if I trust in him, that was the way that I could be made right with God, that I could actually find God and real meaning and purpose and hope. And actually, in all those ways that I failed and I felt like a failure and, you know, is God going to punish me for making this decision or doing that? Or even small things like when I was a kid, am I a bad Hindu for swapping my vegetarian sandwiches for ham sandwiches? You know, to things like, oh, if I miss temple on this day or don't do my prayers religiously or have unkind thoughts about someone who's been unkind to me or don't obey my parents, am I somehow cursed by the gods? Or I think it was a real, that was the shift in mindset. And then I was grappling with all other types of questions like, and obviously because Jesus was God, he then rose again back to life. But then I was grappling with all kinds of things like, well, Gandhi, who was a good man, who did lots of good things for India, if he doesn't believe in Jesus, why does he not go to heaven? Why does someone like the Apostle Paul in the Bible, who persecuted Christians and then trusted in Jesus, why does he go to heaven when he did bad. And so I never understood grace, that God's undeserved, unmerited kindness, that actually it wasn't about good works at all or how good I could be, which was basically 21 years of what I grew up with in Hinduism. That is what shaped my thinking. They started to fit together.
Yeah, what I'm hearing though is that your Hindu faith left you with quite a lot of guilt, or you didn't really, yeah, there was kind of some morality there, but no help for if you didn't live up to the standards that you knew you should. Yeah, is that right? Well, was that the big tension for you?
Well, if you didn't, you felt like a failure and a bit of a screw up.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, the fear of, that's it, I've had it. But if you'd then done well, you were on cloud nine. I mean, you were absolutely, you know, walking on the clouds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, interesting.
Well done, me. The Lord is, God is going to be so pleased. Parents are pleased, family are pleased, et cetera, et cetera. So that was obviously the opposite of the pendulum.
Talking of family and parents, so as this started to emerge, that you were starting to kind of follow Jesus. Yeah. How did that go down with your family? That's tricky, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my family didn't know at the time. Sure. And then I joined a Bible study group. And I think he then asked me, do you realize the cost if you make this decision, what it's going to mean? And I think the big thing was how family will react. But despite that, I made the decision. Well, when I told my parents, we didn't have a good relationship, that went a bit sour. We didn't talk for a while. My sister at the time, she was a devout Hindu. She was absolutely livid with me. But then interestingly, 2 years later, because Hinduism didn't work for her, she became a Christian. That's a completely different thing.
Another story.
I'd say my relationship now with my immediate family is good. But if you remember all the earlier things I was saying about how much Hinduism and particularly religion is entrenched and entwined in family, values, community, doing stuff together. I think becoming a Christian meant I had to, in one sense, distance myself from those things. So I couldn't go to the temple. I couldn't, you know, the Friday prayers, the Sunday school, the participation of events and festivals. And so I'd say because of that, not only my relationship with my extended family became strained, but, you know, there was that. The closeness I once enjoyed, I then distant, you know, that became distant. But then I'd obviously found a new community in Christianity who obviously supported me through the whole thing. But in that sense, it wasn't so hard. But it just meant with things like, you know, big things like funerals. So remember when my grandparents died, when my dad died in 2015, particularly as the eldest son, there are really big expectations put on you. And I had to say no. And that, as the eldest son, particularly in the weight that carries, the firstborn son, that was a big slap in the face to a lot of my family and the extended community. Which, so I don't know, if that just gives you a flavor for...
Yeah, it does.
What it's like and what it's been like.
Thanks, Rick. Out of interest, have you kept anything from your Hindu faith? Like, is there anything that you kind of still have taken from that time in your life now? Because it sounds like quite a radical change from what you described there.
Yeah. I'd probably say now I've been a Christian 15 years. I'd say nothing really massively, because I think I've had some time to work it all out. But I'd say there are still little remnants in my thinking when it comes to doing certain things. You know, I think particularly the whole sort of cultural thing of doing things out of duty, honor, shame, you know, saving face rather than out of truth. So, you know, I remember driving back from a wedding I'd been to with my wife, and I just, you know, I said to her, I really didn't want to go to that. And she said to me, well, I mean, my wife is English. She's British Christian. There's been cross-cultural things that, you know, we've had to work through. And she said, well, why didn't you just say no? Because she was very much grown up with the truth of, you know, truth, honesty thing. You know, if you don't want to go to something, say no. If you want to do it, say yes.
Brilliant.
And I was like, yeah, no, I didn't want to go. But I, you know, I feel a sense of duty. And, you know, because it's the honorable thing to do. Otherwise, it's shameful for me to say no. It's not. And so I'd say that's the cultural Indian, cultural Hindu bit that's still in me as the muscle memory. That, I mean, that's that gives you an idea. And I guess the other thing is just that things we do go to. Obviously, we don't participate in the religious things, but the non-religious cultural things we do. So I'd say those are two things
that
are probably left.
And for our listeners who'd be like, why can't you just, Rick, why do you have to be so like, you know, I don't know, like radical and just, can't you pick a mix, you know, like take a bit from Hindu, add a bit of Jesus, like why can't you just kind of mix it together? What would you say to a listener who's thinking that? Like, come on, isn't it all the same God? Can't you just relax a bit, Rick?
Well, they are just radically different and mutually exclusive. And, you know, so Christianity is all about, it's not about what you do, but what's been done, what Jesus has done in order to make you right with God. Whereas Hinduism's all about what you do and trying to do good in order to earn God's favor and for him to be pleased and to bless you. But another thing is, so suffering, you know, take suffering, you know, why do people suffer? So Hinduism, to, you know, it's a lot of what, you know, I grew up with, and it just the, you know, the hurt from it and why it didn't happen was, you know, in Hinduism, they would say in suffering, it's because you've done something to upset God. And so he's punishing you.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, Christianity, there's a purpose to suffering. But actually Jesus, who is innocent, who didn't deserve to suffer, suffered for a greater good. So that the whole thinking behind that, for example, they're just different at odds ends, mutually exclusive. So that's why you can't pick and mix. You know, the Vedas is just very different to the Bible. You know, God, rather than polytheistic and multiple gods in Hinduism, you know, is one God. So yeah, those are a few reasons.
So Rick, the only other question I had was just like, when you look at Diwali and some of these other festivals, there's just so bright, you mentioned it's a festival of light, you know, it seems like such a colorful, and like on the outside anyway, I'm obviously I haven't been to many festivals, but it seems like a really fun religion in some ways. And then Christianity can often seem quite somber and, I don't know, a bit serious, a bit boring, maybe some people would say. I just wondered, having kind of experienced both, what you'd say to that.
I mean, I don't miss anything with Hinduism, and I've actually, being honest, found Christianity is so much better. No, there's not a lot that I do miss, because it does everything that things like family, community, identity, meaning, you know, it just does it way, way better, radically differently than Hinduism did.
Interesting. Rick, thanks. It's been awesome for me personally just to go on that journey with you. Thanks for sharing that. Really.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on your podcast, and I hope it's helpful for listeners. It's been a trip down memory lane.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.